It was a beautiful duet. I now know what it means to make a joyful noise. we will be going. I'm just joshing. We're going to go to Haggai. It is the third to last book in the Old Testament. If you find Malachi, go back a few. If you're at Nahum, go forward a few. So today I would like to talk to you guys a little bit about like changing situations and how to deal with it. We've all had that happen to us at some point where we plan something and then it doesn't go according to plan. And just how to deal with that stuff. So we're going to start reading in chapter 2, verse 1, and read a few verses. In the seventh month, on the 21st day of the month, the word of the Lord came by the hand of Haggai the prophet. Speak now to Zerubbabel. Yeah. The son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to all the remnant of the people, and say, who is left among you? Who saw the How do you see it now? Is it not as nothing in your eyes? Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord. Work, for I am with you, declares the Lord of hosts. According to the covenant that I have made with you when you came out of Egypt, my spirit remains in your midst. Fear not. For thus says the Lord of hosts, yet once more in a little while I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. And I will shake all the nations so that the treasures of all nations shall come in. And I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, declares the Lord of hosts. The latter glory of this house shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, declares the Lord of hosts. Let's just open up in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for who you are and all that you've done for us. We thank you for this time that we could come here and learn more about you. And please speak through me and let them not be my words, but your words. In the name of which Christ we pray. So this story is talking about how the first wave of Jewish exiles returned from Babylon. And this was 538 BC. They began to rebuild the temple, but soon gave up. Inspired by the prophetic ministries of Haggai and Zechariah, they finally completed the task. Haggai rebuked the people for living in paneled houses while the house of God remained in ruins. And then this is basically just talks about them rebuilding the church. So it says in verse 3, who left among you saw this house in its former glory? How do you see it now? Is it nothing in your eyes? Have we seen change in our lives? How many have planned something and it just not worked out? Or something that you've done for a long time and now you can no longer do? How do we deal with that changing and changing quickly and unexpectedly? How about like when, I mean, so like I used to play basketball, like, and I'd be able to run, and now my knees are bad, so now I have to play completely different. I could still do what I'm doing, but I have to do it completely different. I run like an old guy, and I'm very slow, and so it's, yeah. And so it's just completely different. And how does it mentally, how can we mentally deal with that? One of the things that happened to me in the past is I was out like plowing and stuff like that, and I needed to cash a check because I needed to pay the plow people or whatever, the shovelers with me. So I was racing to the bank, and I was breaking the law, speeding. I was like, oh man, I'm not gonna make it. And so, breaking traffic laws, I was fast. I was going fast, and so I get to the bank. I shut my door. I run to the bank, and there was the bank person in the glass door, locking the door as I got there. And I was like, oh no. And my wife's like, just go to the ATM, automated teller machine. So I was like, wow, that's a great idea. So for the last couple of years, I've put my checks into the ATM because it doesn't matter what time. So just recently, I am at the ATM using the ATM for its proper use. And I put my stuff in there and the ATM turns off. It's not like a person where you could just wake it up and I'm talking to it like it is a person. Hey, come on. And I'm hitting it. Hopefully it's made in America. You just hit it. And it just turned off. So something that I didn't do before, I changed my ways, went to the ATM. Now, well, I was like, don't go to the ATM anymore. Like, make sure you go to a person. So, like, it ended up taking all of my stuff. It took my card. It took the checks. It took forever to get the money. And it was just another lesson that now I have to change my ways again. And so now we just arrange, like, I just have to arrange time to make it to the bank on time and not have to speed. It was a tough lesson to learn at the time, but it's just things happen for a season. My favorite season is coming up, basketball season, where I live and breathe basketball for like 3.5 months. It's pretty much what we do, and all I probably talk about, and my wife probably doesn't like it as much, but it's just for a season, and during that season, we have to make the most of that time. So these people building the temple was in ruins. You know, they were in paneled houses, which back then that was like a nice thing. And now, but yet they left the temple all messed up. They didn't fix it up. So they want to bring it back to the former glory. Some people didn't even think it was worth it, probably. And how do you see it now? It is as nothing in your eyes. Some people think that, like, maybe if we're a small church, it's nothing. But one thing that's interesting is the foundation. They never talk about the foundation being messed up in this. Back in when they were building all the skyscrapers and stuff like that, there was all these new engineers and new random people coming in and building fancy structures. So the next guy was always trying to outdo the other guy. And one of the things that one of these guys did is they made like an abstract building. They made staircases going to nothing. They made like windows in weird spots. And so as they were all going through the building and looking at this, they were like, this doesn't make any sense. This doesn't make any sense. But the one thing that didn't change in that abstract, strange building, if you've ever seen the Ripley's Believe It or Not building, they make it look like it's upside down. It's pretty cool. Like the trees are upside down and stuff. But the one thing about those buildings, even if the structure up top is all messed up and weird, and the foundation is still the same. It always starts with that strong foundation. They don't really waver too much of how they build the foundation. It's still the straight walls. It's still, you know, the beams knowing to hold a certain amount of weight. But it always starts with that firm foundation. Verse 4, now be strong. You know, what does it mean to be strong in the Lord? Joshua 1:9 is a quick verse I'll just read. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Because if he's with us, who can be against us, right? Again, O Zerubbabel declares the Lord, be strong. He says it again. Matthew 5:8. I'm going to read a couple verses here. But you could turn to Matthew 5:8 if you would like. Matthew 5:8. Sports Center. Here we go. Blessed are the pure in, verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under your feet. You are the light of the world. So, being the light of the world, one thing, it always overcomes darkness. When you're looking around and you feel like you're by yourself, you are the light. Show it. Be strong. It says again, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. It says it again, be strong. If we flip over the 1 Samuel, another example of strength, 1 Samuel 17. This is when David went to the front lines. So when everything was against the Israelites, were lined up, and then we had Goliath on the other side taunting. Here comes David, this little guy, and he's just not afraid. But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep sheep for his father." David wasn't too happy when he saw what the guy said. Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with the Philistine. This is what David said. And they're all like, David, don't. Like, it's not a good plan. He's a big guy, you're a little guy. He's got big swords and an armor bearer. You don't even have armor. But David, knowing God would take care of him with that strong foundation, he wasn't relying on his strength. He was relying on God's strength. David tried on the armor. He's like, I can't go with these. They're from man. They're just not for me. I'm just not going to put them on. So then he goes towards the Philistine. And the Philistine looks at him and it's like, you're just a youth, ruddy, and little guy. Then David says to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. And I will give the dead bodies of the hosts of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord saves not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into your hand. Can you think of a time where, like, you came up to something you were confronted with and just had that much confidence in God that you were, that's how you handled it? He's there with no armor, facing someone probably three times his size, with not only does he have to fight this one guy, if he had to fight this guy behind closed doors and nobody else saw, that's another thing. Like, if David got a beating, nobody saw it at least. But there's armies on this side and armies on this side watching. How many times do we not do something just because somebody else is watching? Or because we're going to be in front of people? Or someone, because someone might say something, right? Might hurt our feelings. A couple verses down, it says, so David prevailed. Verse 50. So David prevailed. I'll just read the verse. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him. There was no sword in the hand of David. Then David ran and stood over the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of his sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. When the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. We just have to have that faith, that confidence in God. What is it going to take for us to have that confidence in God, that foundation to be strong? All of you people of the land, now back in Haggai 2, and verse 4 still, all of you people of the land, declares the Lord, work, for I am with you. One thing we have to do is we have to work. I think about that guy that was in a flood, and like a rescue car comes over to get him, and they were like, hey, we're rescuing people, it's going to flood, and come on with us. And he's like, no, God will save me. And then now the water's up to his first floor, and he's on his second floor, and the boat comes by, and he says, they're like, come on, there's not going to be any many more boats. He's like, and then the guy says, oh, it's fine, God will save me. The guy's now on his roof because the waters are up in his thing. The boat's like, this is the last boat, you got to get in. And then the guy's like, no, God will save me. And then when the next question he gets is God in heaven, or the guy says to God, he's like, why didn't you save me? He's like, I sent a car in two boats. We have to do the work. We actually have to listen to God and do what he's asking. For us to do that and to know what he wants, we have to be listening. We have to be aware. We have to be reading, seeking God. If you like something or love something, you're not gonna just not deal with it. If you have a good relationship with someone, like husband and wife, if you spend all this time with somebody, your relationship should get better, not necessarily just stay the same. So if you're constantly dealing with God and talking with God and conversing with God, your relationship will get better and better. So we have to put in the work to have that strong foundation. Exodus 5:11, it talks about gathering straw to make sure you eat. Something like that takes a lot of time, because you have to, you have to get the field ready, you have to plant the seed, you have to make sure the weeds don't get after it, then you have to go and sow all of that stuff. You have to do work. Philippians 3:10 talks about the power of his resurrection, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may obtain resurrection from the dead. Work is tough. Anyone that's ever had a job, there's a reason they pay you for it, because it's not that much fun. It's tough. Jesus, when he was here, he worked. He was a carpenter. There's always work to do, whether it be just physical work, and or there's always the spiritual work that needs to get done. What else does they need by work? Joshua 1:8, we just read 1:9. Now, Joshua 1:8, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. You know, I know some of you kids are in school. We all pretty much went through school. It's tough work learning all that stuff, reading all the classes, taking the tests. It's a lot of work. A good relationship can be a lot of work. Sometimes relationships are very easy. Other times they can be a lot of work. So we got to work through it with the Lord being our focus. So Elijah, another example of working hard is Elijah and Elisha. Elijah did a lot of God's works and things like that, but Elisha for a while followed and learned from Elijah to eventually receive that double portion. He stayed faithful, and it's, you know, in David's life, he did a lot of stuff at the beginning, and he messed up, and the Lord still blessed him. So if we mess up, it's okay. Just pick up and continue on. Our foundation is strong, so we could just continue on. In the building process, we may cut some boards wrong or make something crooked. And in my world, we always say it's only a mistake if you leave it that way. So if we set up a wall crooked and then we don't fix it, yeah, that's a mistake. But if we go ahead and fix it, it is not a mistake. It's a learning experience. So like Elisha followed Elijah, we must stay faithful, stay the course, and learn when it's our turn to learn and work. Work, for I am with you. That's a tough one. While you're working, to just trust on God or have faith in God, that's the tough part. Because sometimes we want to instantly rely on ourselves to do these things. So my buttons aren't working over here. 2 Corinthians 12:7. So this is one of the letters that Paul wrote. So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. Three times I have pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecution, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So the part that got me thinking on this one is where it says, a thorn was given me in the flesh. There's always something that gets us. You know, for everybody, it's something different. I know, like, for my dad, it's probably his knees. That could be frustrating. For me now, it's my knees. It wasn't before. You know, there's a thorn. It's not necessarily a physical thorn, which it could be. But there's always something that's got to trying to pull us away to get our focus off God. And here I pleaded with God to please let it leave me, but Jesus says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. You know, bring your weaknesses to God. When you don't think that you can do something and you rely on God, that's something God likes. So if there's, you know, for some people, for an introvert, I know it's hard to go and start a conversation. I've, I not exactly an introvert, so I don't mind talking to people. But sometimes it's hard to go and start that conversation. Maybe that's what God wants you to try to do, is go start a conversation. And what are you going to talk about? So if somebody won the lottery, it's going to be pretty easy to go and be like, hey, guy, I won the lottery. You wouldn't care who you told, right? We kind of won the lottery with God. There was a lot of work involved to make that happen, but we will have mansions in heaven. Why wouldn't we want to go tell somebody that we won the lottery with God? Because we might get persecuted? Because we might have some insults? There might be some hardships from that? How are we going to talk about God and the power he has where we would be afraid to tell somebody else about that? For when I am weak, then I am strong. We could be strong in the Lord on those times that we think that we can't do this. Any time that we're in that position and we're just like, well, that's, it's not something I do. It's not something I can do. The problem with that is you're talking about you. You're not letting God work. It's not, well, God can probably do that through me. That's not how you're saying it. You're saying, I can't do that. And, you know, you could be right. But with God's help, you can do it. So work, for he is with you. Jeremiah 1:19 says, they will fight against you and not prevail. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, you will also not be tempted beyond what you can control. So whatever he is giving you, whatever he's tempting you with, you can overcome it because he's not going to give you something too much. Isaiah 41:10, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. Behold, all who are increased against you shall be put to shame and confounded. Those who strive against you shall be as nothing. They shall perish. You shall seek those who contend with you, but you shall not find them. Those who war against you shall be as nothing at all. For I am the Lord your God. Hold your right hand. It is who I say to you, fear not, for I am the one who helped you. He says that he will just take those people and you won't even find them anymore. Like you won't even notice the people coming at you anymore if you put your faith and trust completely in God. So with those changes in life, those short seasons that you don't know are coming, for, you know, there's friends that you will be talking to every day, and then all of a sudden you won't talk to them for months. Those changes, God's there with you. There's a reason for those things. God has his plan. When we were teaching Sunday school the other day, the Lord has a little bit of a sense of humor, I noticed, and only he can plan something like this out. And with Sarah and Abraham, it was originally Sarai, S-A-R-A-I, and then it was Abram. When they had the baby, Sarah was 90, right? 90? And then Abraham was 99. When the angel came and told Abram that Sarah was going to have a baby, Sarai laughed. So Abraham, he had that H-A added to his name from Abram to Abraham. So he had an H-A. And then Sarai had the I pulled out. So it was I, ha, I laugh. Then the son's name, Isaac, means he laughs. Like only God can do all those things and line up all that random stuff to make sense. He works in mysterious ways and he has an ultimate plan. And that's why we probably sometimes cannot figure it out, because it's so complicated. to understand all the different views and all the different things going on. So, work for I'm with you, declares the Lord of hosts, according to the covenant that I made with you when you come out of Egypt. My spirit remains in your midst. Fear not. So, Paul, in his life, there's times where we think that maybe God is no longer with us. 2 Corinthians 11:24 says, this is Paul giving an account, and he says, 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods, once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea, on frequent journeys. In danger from rivers, danger from robbers, dangers from my own people, danger from the Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and hardships through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure, and apart from other things, there is a daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is made to fall and I am not indignant? That's a tough time. I mean, after my first whipping, I'll be like, am I doing something wrong? But he got whipped 5 times, beaten with rods. He was stoned, shipwrecked. You know, he had a tough time. There was probably many times where he was thinking, like, maybe I should do something different. Or to get whipped that many times, 5 separate times, to continue on. He had some things against him, and he was a great example of pushing forward. So when you're down in the dumps, and you think that everything's against you, read 1 Corinthians 2:11, 24, and just be thankful your name isn't Paul. But we'll go through those times of struggle, the hurt times and the struggle times, and we normally come out better on the other end if we stay looking at God and focus on God. For thus, verse 6, for thus says the Lord of hosts, yet once more, in a little while, I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake the nations so that the treasures of all nations shall come in. The Lord will do what he says. He controls everything. He is the Lord. He is almighty. He controls the wind and the sea. I will fill this house with glory. So if we continue to be strong, I mean, this is an example of like a physical church, but if we use it as an example, if we stay strong, we keep our foundation, it'll be greater than the former. We think of the story of Job and how he had a tough go at it. He had a great life at the beginning, right? He had all these camels and cows and sheep and kids, and then he lost it all. And then, I think it's Job 42:10, it talks about God just blessing him over and over and giving him twice as much as he had before. So we just need to stick through it. When in doubt, go to that strong foundation and study the word, be with God, and have that relationship, talk with God. He says, the silver is mine, the gold is mine, declares the Lord of hosts. The latter glory of this house shall be greater than the former. Romans 5. Romans 5, 1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtain access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that sufferings produce endurance. Endurance produces character. Character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character. Character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame. It's a pretty powerful verses. We're going to suffer. He lets us know that we're going to suffer. Going back to David in 2 Samuel 5:10 says, David became greater and greater for the Lord, and the God of hosts was with him. It's going to be tough if we rely on self, but with God, everything can happen the way he says. May not be our plan, but it will be God's plan. And in this place, I will give peace, declares the Lord. You know, Mark 4, we talked about him calming the seas. Matthew 6, it talks about even the birds in the air are fed. You know, that's just kind of a small animal. There's lots of birds. He makes sure even them, those guys are fed. So why wouldn't he take care of us on something that we thought was big? And he really will. But it's going to be tough. There's suffering involved. Psalm 37:4 says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your hearts. What is our desire? Is it that ourselves get bigger and more famous, and we want someone to say, like, oh, that guy's like he's an awesome guy for God? Or do we want God to shine through? What are our desires? Do we desire what God wants? And the more we're in a relationship with somebody, we're going to want the same desires. I know a few years ago, I could care less about like fancy coffee. Gas station coffee was good. The thicker, the better for me. My wife likes fancy coffee. And so now I'm starting to like fancy coffee. It smells nice. They throw whipped cream in there sometimes. And then now I get caramel and everything. Sprinkles. I was like, wow, this looks so nice. But you build that relationship, your desires will change in according to what God's desires is. There's times where I don't want fancy coffee. I just want a lot of it. And then, so there will be different changes, but we got to roll with the punches, because God's plan, he knows what's going on. He made the plan for a reason, even if we think we messed up the plan or changed the plan or that we just didn't do it according. God will pick up the pieces. We just have to rely on him. Stay faithful. So can we handle the changes that God throws at us? You know, if we have 3 months planned out and now you don't know what you're doing tomorrow, can you handle that? Can you handle, you know, your flight's getting delayed? I know lots of people had flights delayed recently. It's tough. You get aggravated, and you'll be pretty quick to sin when you know, your car breaks down, you get a flat tire. Someone comes over to you, did you get a flat tire? Nope, the other three just swelled right up on me. It was crazy. We're quick to come back at them, you know? But God has a plan. Maybe there was a reason that you got a flat tire. You were going to get in an accident right up the road. And God actually protected you by giving you that aggravating circumstance. Can we handle broken plans? It's a tough one. If we are over there at our calendar setting plans, and you know we're doing it by ourselves, they're probably not going to go well. As a family, like when we try to write stuff on a calendar that we know, like we'll be asking each other, like, what do you have this day and what time is that? And we're discussing it with each other. If we're making plans and we don't involve God in God's plan, the plan's probably going to change. So we got to keep God involved. We have to have that good relationship so that our desires line up with God's desires, so that our plans will probably change less because we're more in tune with God and realizing His plan and not our plan. So the challenge is to be strong and have that foundation. You know, when the times get trouble, go back to your foundation. Read. Praise the Lord. Sing songs. Do what you need to do to get back in tune with God. When the plans change, work. You got to work slowly. Sometimes things take slowly. We had a challenge last week of fasting and changing. Just, you don't have to necessarily take out the food, but you take out something else that you normally would have done and put God in that place. And sometimes that'll take time. And over time, good things will happen. He is with you. Just remember, God is with you during that change. He's the one that is the ruler of all. He controls the seas, the nations, the gold and silver is His, and He will shake the nations for you. So have that peace of God, knowing that He is with you, because if He's with you, who could be against you? So let's just close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You and praise You for who You are and all that You've done for us. We thank You for this time. We thank You for Your great example that You've given us throughout the Bible of David and Daniel and Elijah and Elisha, all these great examples. And please help us that we will just stay focused on You and know that You are the ultimate planner, for us to make our plans with You instead of against You sometimes, that we will just stay according to Your will, that we'll set a strong foundation, and that we will just act like we love You as You love us. And we just thank You for everything that You've blessed us with. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray.